Zaslow, the Florida Panthers, up on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Playoff ready here, baby. Come on now. Come on.
3-2. Take that, Canada. Take it. We'll see. Still 9 minutes left here.
There's actually a lot of NHL.
It's a really good hockey night, actually, to be perfectly honest.
Playoff implications in some of these games here. You got Zaz watching the Panthers and the Leafs. Austin Matthews also going for his 70th goal tonight.
All right, you could keep that on the down low. All right.
I have my eyes on the Capitals and Flyers. I need the Flyers to win, which is really gross. I don't like rooting for the Flyers. And I'm keeping an eye on the Canadians and Red Wings, who the Red Wings just tied it up, and that's bad for me.
I mean, Amber, obviously we got the NBA, you know, the play-in going on right now.
There's a lot of important hockey going on, too.
But, I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner. Come on now. So good. We're at a good time of
the year. Come on now. Come on now. We're coming. The play-in, like you mentioned, is happening right now. Lakers-Pelicans. Lakers up on the Pels. 66-53. It was a dogfight for most of the game, and then the Lakers started putting the pressure on and pulling away a little bit. We'll see what happens now here in the third quarter. You have them winning by 20?
Yeah, feels like it. Yeah, why wouldn't I think that? I mean, they beat them down the entire season. They're going to win by 20 tonight.
Well, and including the last game of the season, so they are coming off of that momentum. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. That is the voice of Jonathan Zaslow.
Yeah.
Filling in for Ian tonight at Zaslow's show is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. We're hopping off air a little bit early tonight because Warriors at Kings will be headed your way right here on ESPN Radio in a little less than 30 minutes from now. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. But
are you making
news.
It to the finish line of that game tonight? Are you staying up in the Wilson Castle?
Maybe. Hard. Maybe. We'll see how interesting that game is.
All right.
I'm going to try. I am going to try. It is a play-in. I love the play-in tournament, so I'm locked in. I am going to try.
All right. LeBron wants the guy who came up with it fired. We'll see.
Yeah, right? Even though he's in it each and every season.
Yeah,
so
every year. It's the only way
every
LeBron
single
can make the playoffs.
Year. It's the only way he can make a postseason. Yeah. But he wants that guy fired. Yeah. Say it's worked out okay there for old LeBron. What might not be working out okay is for the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, they are expecting, is not going to be available for game one of that series against the Pacers. And right now, the Bucks are reportedly gearing up not to have Giannis for the entire series there against the Pacers. Obviously, that's a problem for Milwaukee and a problem that's presented itself before. And we may be in a situation where, despite them taking a big swing in the offseason and trading for Damian Lillard, Zaslow, that the Milwaukee Bucks are getting bounced in the first round.
I think they are.
If that's happening, it feels like heads are going to roll there in Milwaukee.
I think they are. I don't think, especially without Giannis, I don't think this Bucks team has enough firepower to keep up with the Pacers. One thing we know about this Pacer team, they can score. I don't think Milwaukee is able to keep up with them. Even if Giannis were available, I was still going to pick Indiana. And now that we know he's not available and we may not see him at all this series, which, by the way, this is a recurring theme every single year with Giannis when we get to the postseason. Every single year.
He's always hurt. Except for
always
hurt. Well, even when they won an NBA title, he was still hurt in that final. So, yes, you're right. Every single year that man is hurt in the postseason.
He was
hurt in time.
He was hurt in 2020 when the Heat beat them in the first round. He missed a couple games. He was hurt in 2021. He wasn't supposed to play in the finals that year against the Phoenix Suns. He gutted it out, and he was incredible and finals MVP, but he was hurt there as well. I don't remember 2022, and that was the year where they did they beat Brooklyn that year? I don't remember. And that was
he was hurt last year. I remember
and
that.
And in 2023, in the first round,
first round
against Miami. He's hurt every single year come playoff time.
Right. And, it's the opposite. That with like the 76ers, we've talked about that in the past with Joel Embiid also having those issues, except for one of the scary things about the Sixers this season was Joel Embiid's injury that seems to plague him every single season. Like, it's coming for him every season, but this time it came for him earlier.
Yeah, he got out of the way in the middle of the year.
Right. So is that going to end up being a huge advantage for the Sixers?
I think so.
Because he got it out of the way early and then he had rested. Like, you think so? Heat fans. You don't think so.
No. That doesn't mean that I don't think that the Heat are going to win tomorrow night. Let Embiid play. I don't care. I think the Heat are going to win tomorrow night. And now I think
you're going to have the right attitude.
And now I think you're going to have a healthy Embiid who's going to be facing the Boston Celtics in the first round, a 1-versus-8 matchup, and I think that's going to have all the drama. But no, Embiid playing, Embiid not playing, I don't care. Look, they could suit up Moses Malone. I don't care who the Sixers suit up tomorrow, okay? The Heat win that game tomorrow, and we're going to get an epic first-round series Heat-Knicks.
James loves when we do this, by the way, when you and I are together and we go full Homer Heat fan mode. Let's do a little more of it. Let me float an idea by you, Jonathan Zaslow, because we wanted Damian Lillard as Miami Heat fans, and we thought we were going to get Damian Lillard, and frankly, Damian Lillard wanted us as well. But Joe Cronin wasn't having it, and they weren't going to play ball there, and so he ended up getting traded.
He allowed his emotions to get the best of him and decided to take a lesser deal, and, yeah. You know, look at you now. Okay.
Take the word. Yeah, look at you now, by the way, the way that deal worked out for you. Also, though, hasn't gone great for Milwaukee either. And so we know that Dame has said that this has been the toughest transition of his life. Now, he's got some personal stuff going on as well, but the transition to Milwaukee from a place that he thought he was going to spend his entire career and a place, frankly, that he really enjoyed living by all accounts, but just wanted to try to win a championship somewhere else. So it's a tough transition for him. Things in Milwaukee have not gone great for the Bucks this season. Some people have this labeled as a season of hell for them. And obviously Giannis as well. Things are now not going well for him here at the end of the season. You and I have been focused on Dame.
Go on.
But stay with me here.
Go on.
What if Giannis is disgruntled after another first round exit here?
Yes.
If he gets bumped out of these playoffs, he can't even make an appearance. What if he forces his way to Miami? What if we get Damian Giannis?
You were whispering sweet nothings into my ear right there, Amber Wilson. That's an excellent job out of you.
You're getting crazy now.
Don't be unrealistic. Don't mock us, okay?
Hold on. I don't really want Klay Thompson. Where are we going?
Yeah, trying to win
maybe
here.
Luka? What about Luka? And Kyrie?
I'll take Luka. Yeah, we could talk about that. Kyrie. We could talk about Luka.
We're going to have enough. We can't have everybody. All right.
I'd consider Jokic.
Being unrealistic.
Jokic, yeah. Depends. Yeah, but would you be able to get Jokic if you just sent Bam over there? I don't know.
Bam?
I gotta give up Bam?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'll give you Tyler Hero for Jokic, straight up.
That's right, yeah.
Hero and Robinson.
And a pick swap.
You Heat fans truly are the worst.
Culture.
The worst.
Everybody wants to be part of the culture, James. So Giannis is not going to play, it feels like, in this first round against the Pacers, because the reality is as well that you can't with a calf strain, Zaza, with what we saw happen to Kevin Durant, you can't mess around with it. You can't come back early and then you blow out your Achilles because you come back too soon from a calf strain for a first round series.
Yeah,
like you said, he played through injury in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
This ain't the NBA Finals. So I don't feel like we're going to see Giannis in this thing. And I frankly think if we don't, that the Bucks are in trouble.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's, are you coming back and risking further injury in the first round? And then it's like, okay, wow, glad I came back because I helped us win. Oh, what? We have another month and a half left? Okay. So there's that it's the first round. And the second part is, and this is probably even more important, what about the Bucks' performance this season? At any point, at any sustained period, and especially since Doc Rivers took over, which they're 17 up and 19 down, at what point in this season have you said, you know what, I like what we're playing, I think we're going to look good in the playoffs?
No, you
haven't.
And
I haven't seen it. So all of that right there is going to equate to Giannis not playing this postseason.
Windy, ESPN's NBA insider, was on Get Up, and he said that the Bucks shouldn't actually be concerned about what's going on with Dame, that they actually need to be a little bit worried about what's going on with Giannis. Take a listen.
If they lose in the first round, that's a big statement right there, number one. If they lose in the first round, the first person you're worried about isn't Dame. It's Giannis.
Mm.
You want to make sure Giannis is still committed. And also, when you talk about this first round, you got to worry about where Giannis's calf is, if he's going to be 100%. But if they go down in the first round again, they have that disappointment back-to-back years, I'm not sure where Giannis is going to be. But no matter what happens, this is a flawed roster. They clearly did not, the panacea that they thought Dame Lillard was going to be wasn't the case. They're going to have to make changes one way or another, and they basically mortgage their entire draft in the future. So they're going to have to get creative, and I do think it's possible that Dame could be looked at. But you got to make sure Giannis is committed to it first.
Yeah, what you could do, because you mortgaged your future, is you could trade away Dame for assets. It's basically what you would have to do. But also, if Giannis is available, so I mean, I'm willing to play ball with Dame. I'm just saying, but if I could get Giannis down in Miami.
Yeah, I love the way you're thinking. I got to be honest. I love the way you're thinking, but I don't see it. I don't see Giannis being the guy who is going to tell them in the middle of the contract that he just signed last offseason that he doesn't want to honor the rest of it with the Bucks. You know, can I see Giannis leaving in free agency if this were the case? Yeah, why not? But I don't see him as one of those guys who turns around the very next year and says, I'm not going to honor the rest of this deal. I don't think he's that guy. I don't
see free agency ain't anytime soon because he did just sign that extension.
Yeah.
And in fairness to the Bucks, whether it works or not, they can still point to the Dame trade and say, we tried. Like, we have tried. Like, we continue to try everything to make you happy. So we are very clearly committed to you. We will fire a coach during the season with a winning record to bring in a new coach just to make you happy. We do everything to try to make you happy. And when an organization shows that kind of commitment
right now, they're paying three coaches right now.
To appease Giannis, in large part to appease Giannis. So I tend to agree. I don't, as much as I'm joking and would love to see him disgruntled so he can force his way to Miami, because we always think everyone's trying to force their way to Miami as Miami Heat fans, don't actually realistically think that's the case. Coming up next, now Dame, by the way, Dame, I think that's a realistic possibility.
I do too.
Once again.
I do too.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we got to find out what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
First pick. Amber and Ian's NFL Draft. Position profile, wide receivers and tight ends.
Marvin Harrison. Oh, Marvin was marvelous.
We always talk about winning a Super Bowl is easier when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. I think that's true, but I also think it's pretty easy when you have a future Hall of Famer on a rookie deal.
Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State, Brock Bowers of Georgia, and Rome Odunze of Washington are top pass catchers whose names you'll hear early in the draft.
Yeah, I think I'm wide receiver one in this upcoming draft. You know, that's not a knock at any of the receivers in the draft.
Watch where Malik Nabers of LSU, Ben Sinnott of Kansas State, and Xavier Worthy of Texas end up.
When I'm watching Malik Nabers, when I'm watching his film, it looks like a bat out of hell. It looks like a dart being shot out of something. I don't know what it is, but Malik Nabers is scooting.
You may be hearing about them sooner rather than later at their NFL destination.
It is Tunes Tuesday here on Amber and Ian. Jonathan Zaslow is filling in for Ian tonight. What does that mean? That means, first of all, that Amber and Ian's presented by Progressive Insurance. Duh. But second of all, that means that Rachel Robinson, our associate producer, is on the ones and twos. She always has a theme with the music during each and every show. Tonight is no exception. Let's get to it.
Tunes Tuesday. On Amber and Ian.
Funky music. There's an N in there. Funky. Rachel, tell us what were the tunes you played tonight.
All right, so today we started off with Hilary Duff, Hey Now, Britney Spears, Toxic, and we went a little Miley Cyrus with Seven Things, Selena Gomez, Hit the Lights, Christina Aguilera, Ain't No Other Man, Olivia Rodrigo, Good For You, and we went with a little JT, Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. I will say two people got this correct on our Twitter page.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw one of the replies, and I think they got it.
Oh, you cheater. You're not supposed to know.
How do I know?
You post.
I'm on my Twitter, though. I was tagged,
so
though, in it.
That's why I tell you ahead of time not to check your Twitter, Zaslow.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
I'm going to guess that they were all Mickey Mouse Club.
That's close. I'll give it to you.
That's a good guess.
Zaslow,
were they all Mickey Mouse Club, those artists?
What was your guess, Zaz? Did you have one?
Well, I saw one of the replies, and I think are they breakup songs?
No, Zaslow. Amber was correct today. They all started on the Disney Channel, or just Disney in general.
Wow.
Yeah, they're all Disney artists. And
so not specifically Mickey Mouse
theme.
Club, yeah.
Yeah, she's doing the Disney theme because we drafted Disney villains tonight. Yes. We're, you know, obviously.
I got a good squad.
James just came back from Disney. Rachel just came back from Disney. Zaza was recently in Disney. Disney's on Rachel's mind at all times, 24/7. So,
true statement. Go
vote.
I
knew it was a Disney thing. Now, more specifically, I thought all those artists had been on or part of Mickey Mouse Club, but maybe they were all part of just Disney Channel, generally speaking. But, and I also, one of the reasons I was able to get this one tonight is because I actually recognized the artists tonight and the songs. Normally, you're a little off the wall.
I thought I'd help you out tonight.
Good jams there. I liked it.
She'll play like a song from 1965. I'm like, yeah, I'm not picking up what you're putting down. All right. Now it is time, Jonathan Zaslow, to find out what's a big deal, what's not.
Yes.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And James Steele. Hello, James.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
James.
Hi. Hi. A lot of talk about a contract extension for Tua over the past couple days. Here's Dolphins GM Chris Greer on that.
Happens what happens. We've had communications with him, and like we've always, I'll just those between the organization and his representation, and it's been good. So we'll just keep working towards it. Him and his agent are very understanding that this is now the draft, so he's letting us focus on that, and then we'll turn our attention to that after the draft finishes.
All right, so Dolphins GM says they'll turn their attention to Tua's contract extension after the draft, which is next week. You can hear it right here on ESPN Radio, Thursday and Friday. Zaz, big deal, not a big deal?
Not a big deal. This was expected. You know, this is the situation that we're in here. If anything, I would say it's almost a big deal that it hasn't been finalized yet, but that's not what we're talking about here. So them coming to an agreement, figuring this deal out. They've been in contract talks apparently the last couple days. To me, not a big deal. We all expect this to get done, Amber.
Chris Greer saying that he's been in talks with Tua and Tua's reps about a contract extension. Sure, Chris. I feel like that's probably been happening for the last, frankly, year. So, yeah, this is not a big deal to me at all. Now, it's a little bit of a weird deal that it hasn't actually happened yet, and I don't know what the holdup is because it's pretty simple. Typically,
probably
know,
money.
A quarterback. When you have a thanks. Thanks for that, Zaz. Really, you don't think it's like his PTO that they're arguing about? You think it's money?
Probably money.
Yeah, I'd imagine that has something to do with it. But yes, overall, Zazzle and I both think that in the end, you're going to end up paying Tua. That's the reality of the situation.
All right. So South Florida guard Selton Miguel has reportedly committed to Maryland per his IG page. John Rothstein tweeted this on Twitter a little while ago, but that's not really the news. The news is someone quote tweeted it and said, so he's not going to help me finish this group project for tomorrow, is he? I'm dead serious asking this. So, Amber, big deal, not a big deal, that maybe this guy, Selton Miguel, has kind of...
So just some classmate at USF?
Copped out of the group project.
If you haven't heard from Shelton, he ain't helping. Like, the group project's due tomorrow, and you haven't heard from Shelton yet? I feel like that's a wrap on his participation. Says group projects are the absolute worst. Somebody always ends up doing the most.
I was always one of the kids who did very little. I was such a hanger-on.
Yeah, I was one of the kids
never doing
the
bulk of the work. Nah, not me. That ain't my style. I'm going not a big deal here because you know what? You had to see this coming. If you're doing the group project with a star basketball player in your class, don't you know he's not going to be wind up pulling up his weights? So come on now. This is not a big deal.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
That is a fair point.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to pull a little bit more of the weight.
Yeah, you probably know that particular guy. Even if he was staying at USF, probably not pulling his weight with the group project.
The NBA broke numerous attendance records this season, including total attendance over 22.5 million, average attendance over 18,000, sellouts 872, and percentage of games sold out 71%. And arenas were filled to a record-breaking 98% capacity this season. Zaz, big deal, not a big deal, the NBA breaking some attendance records this year.
Yeah, I'll go big deal. I mean, you know, the league is certainly very, very healthy when it comes to finances. They got the big TV deal that's going to be coming up real soon. So all of that is stuff that they can tout to potential partners. So I'll go big deal, Amber.
Yeah, that feels like a sales pitch that James just gave us for the NBA as they're shopping television deals. Frankly, it almost feels a little hard to believe. I feel like we've been talking about how the NBA has some issues in terms of product and in terms of their superstars choosing not to play because of load management in any given night and how that's going to end up affecting attendance. And then we get these numbers, which is like the NBA's way of being like, see, it doesn't matter that our guys never want to actually play basketball, our most recognizable faces in that sport, because our attendance is just fine. I would say if that's true, it's a pretty big deal, because I think that there's a bigger conversation there. But let me know when you're women's college basketball, then I'll be impressed.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.